Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. It is Monday night, February 7th, a little after 9:15 p.m. Eastern. That means it's time for the Hoops HD Report. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined up top here with John Tytel, David Dorman. Down below me, this is David Griggs, the puppet, making mouth noises. I can't hear him, though.
He's been Griggs, muted.
Griggs, if you're speaking, you are on mute, and we've lost you. To his sides, we've got John Slika and Joby Fortson. We are trying to get the puppet back. Hopefully, actually, we're trying not to get the puppet back. And unfortunately, I think we have now fixed the puppet's
mic. Okay,
you can
hear me now. We can continue. My expertise can be shared.
It was a lot better when we could not, trust me.
I am an expert by trade. That is what I do for a living. I am an expert.
This is, what should we say? This is the Hoops HD Report, and we are got a lot to get to. Our colleague Joby Fortson is very happy right now, having seen what just happened between Virginia and Duke. And we'll get to the ACC here in a few minutes. But
thanks for the spoiler. I had it DVR'd.
I thought we'd start the show with, like we've done in previous weeks, another blind resume. It's one of our favorite things to do here. And I've got a couple teams here that neither one may belong in the field, actually. And maybe you guys will say both belong in the
Which
field.
And North Carolina.
And neither one is North Carolina. That is the trick. It's just, Joby, quite honestly, when you look at North Carolina's profile, it's such a dead giveaway that it's not a very fun blind resume. But I've got a pair of teams here that my question is, are these two teams close, at least? Or
no.
Do you think that there's one that's clearly better
no.
than the other?
The bad on one is so bad.
I know there is bad on the left there, but there's but if you look, Grace, let me start with you. If you look at the team on the left there, they've got some pretty bad stuff, but they also have 7 wins away from home.
Yeah, you gotta like that. Now they do have. You can still hear me, right? Like,
yes.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, two really bad losses. One of those really bad is on the road. I'm trying to think what is making everybody hold their nose. Is there something that my eye doesn't go to right away? That's a very, very unlucky team. In fact, I think I knew who the one on the left is. the
I
one
don't
on
think
the
you
right.
Done anything. I mean, really
is it a Pac-12 team?
How about the team on the, how about the team on the right? Slika, let me bring you in here. The team on the right, I mean, have they really done anything? Maybe neither one is any good.
Well, for a moment, I was thinking it might be LSU, but they've actually been in such a nosedive, and this neutral court win was back in mid-December right here, so it's not the Tigers.
Yeah. Tytel, what about you? Is there one that – do either one of these teams belong in right now, what we're looking at? Maybe I just pulled up two garbage profiles.
I mean, the metrics look very similar. The team on the right is a bit of a home court hero, 10-1 in the home, but 1-4 on the road. The other thing to note is that if you compare the opponent's net for the two teams, they both play teams that are 40. They both play teams that are 45. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say they're both in the same conference, Chad.
They are both in the same conference. That was a very
good
guess.
One of them
Wazoo. One of them is not Wazoo. Now we're going to go a little bit more here. The team on the right is a team that everybody's had in most of the season, although they've been faded. The team on the left is a team nobody's been discussing at all. That is, one thing nobody mentioned was that 5-game winning streak, which I think makes them a little bit interesting as we move forward to the end of the season.
Memphis and somebody.
We've got San Diego State on the right and a Utah State team that nobody has mentioned all season on the left, but 5 games in a row.
Yeah.
Joby, a little surprised that Utah State is at least in the ballpark of San Diego State?
No, I'm not. San Diego State is starting to waver a little bit. I mean, they barely beat Nevada this past weekend. If they had taken that loss, they'd be out of the field. The fact they won the game, I personally do have them out on the 12 line, which is what I think the resume on the right makes sense. Utah State, why did you lose to UC Davis? Let's be blunt here. That's killing them more so than the Air Force. And just like with any blind resume, you have to fill out, okay, who are we talking about on these, on the fill-ins? Though the fill-ins for Utah State are reasonable. New Mexico State is the best team in the WAC. Weber's the best team in the Big Sky. And Richmond has started to show something, and it was a neutral court win. So Utah State deservedly is only about, 10 spots out or whatever it would be. San Diego State deservedly is, you know, 12 line, maybe first four.
And the thing about both these teams, Chad, if you'll allow me to kind of butt in here, Utah State is, they do have a lot of momentum going, and they actually made it up to my board. The one thing that about that is that their best win against Oklahoma is really against an Oklahoma team that isn't any good at all. But if you look at their next four games,
there is the chance for them to make
their case, because this Wyoming team, we'll get to them a little bit later. They're on fire. They had a huge week, and two of their wins came at home, but the one yesterday did not. It is not easy to win at Fresno, and they went and won there. And San Diego State also, like, still has to go to Fresno, still has to go to Boise, and still has to go to Wyoming. So if they, the thing I about both of them is that they both have a chance to not just get inside the bubble, but get so far inside that it's not even close. Those opportunities are there between now and the end.
And if I'm not mistaken, that was actually Fresno's first loss at home. So it was. To give Wyoming extra points for that.
It was. And that was a really good win, followed up by that followed two really emotional wins at home against good team. What a week for Wyoming.
And that's where, Dorman, that's exactly where I wanted to go right next year was, let's start with the Mountain West, because we did the blind resume with them.
And we got to talk about this.
What a week by Wyoming. What a week by Wyoming.
And look at the success that this conference is having, and it's all because of the new coach at San Jose State elevating the level of this conference.
Dorman.
Wyoming is playing fantastic basketball. The game against Boise State, the win against Boise State Thursday night, just showed everyone this team can play. This team is very, very good, because Boise was winning games. I don't know how many they had won in a row. So it took a Wyoming, a great effort, a great game. Boise State was there till the end, but Wyoming in the end nailed them out. And this conference, to me, these four teams, Fresno State stuck here at 5-6-4 in the conference. Fresno State's a very solid team, and we just went through Utah State. The Mountain West is deep. The Mountain West has six. This is going to be a great conference tournament come March.
Exactly. And we are talking six teams. Tytel, we're also, you know, Fresno State, tough loss at home against Wyoming, but not a bad team at all.
I couldn't agree more. Coach Justin Hudson did not win more than 12 games in either of the past 2 years. He's got to be thrilled that he's got 16 wins so far, but he also has to be kicking himself over what might have been. 8-point loss at San Francisco, 5-point loss at Utah, overtime loss at Boise, 2-point loss on Sunday to that amazing Wyoming team that was only using a 7-man rotation. If they get a single-digit loss at Colorado State on Friday, he's going to need somebody to hug on Valentine's Day. Junior center Orlando Robinson, he's been doing everything. The past 13 games, 19 points, 8 boards, 3 assists a game. Today, outside the bubble, if they beat Colorado State, we'll see what happens next week.
Yeah, we've been talking about this four-bit Mountain West. So we may be talking about even more than that at the end of the day.
Good.
And there's the upcoming schedule, Salika. We mentioned Colorado State at Nevada. You know, there's a few other games here worth at least somewhat noteworthy, including the Colorado State Boise game Sunday as well, right?
Yeah, but before that, Colorado State's going to have to host Fresno State, who's going to have their own sense of urgency going into that game as well. And as we discussed with Utah State, they go to the highest building in the country on Tuesday. So that's not going to be easy with Wyoming not having lost at home all year. But other than that, it's going to be a lot of holding serve up until Sunday.
Yeah, as good as this league is, not really respected very much by the voters. No one in the top 25, although Wyoming very, very close, just one spot out. And this Wyoming program, it's had good teams in the past, but it's been, you know, very, very smattered and far between. You can almost just feel the excitement around this program in that area among that alumni base. They're good, and it'll be fun to see what they can do in March. They're fun to watch. This whole conference is fun to watch.
It's been a long time since I've seen so many good games in February in the Mountain West.
You know, it's
conversations just like you don't want to watch. You know, it's who's San Diego State playing, otherwise turn it off.
Right, yeah.
And you really don't want to watch San Diego State if you can help.
True.
Well, there's going to be times, honestly, when you look at some of these defensive ratings, it's like walking through an anaconda pit and hoping you don't get squeezed to death.
Look at San Diego State, adjusted deficiency, defense, adjusted defensive efficiency. It took me a second to get that one out. First.
And they play on their offense 230 and their tempo 274. Yeah. It's not fun basketball to watch unless you're a Virginia fan, maybe.
Yeah, well, I can appreciate it.
I'll tell you what, that's a good segue.
Virginia plays boring basketball. San Diego State plays rock fighting. If you find rock fighting fun, there you go.
Joby, let me
elegant defense, go to Virginia.
Let me stick with you, Joe, because we just saw it. We just saw Virginia go to Duke just minutes ago before we started. They're your team, got the buzzer beater win. Incredible game.
Yeah, no, and Bennett only gets his second win in Cameron in a decade of coaching at Virginia. This is a big game. Virginia has played a lot better. They beat Miami over the weekend, which is a big start to that. We're going to see if this is the team. There always is one. The team who rises up like a phoenix, and we weren't talking about in early February, and then becomes the team that gets into the field. I don't know. We'll see. The Virginia has found themselves in one key respect, and it showed tonight except on the final shot. Before the final shot, Virginia was 1 for 11 from three. The key is they only took 11. Earlier in the season, that would have been 1 for 17 or 2 for 17. Virginia got massive points in the paint. They've realized we don't really have the shooters, but we do have the ability to drive with 2-point guards. We have 2 7-footers. We have a guy who can make his own shot from 10 feet in Gardner. And Franklin is starting to play a little better and driving the lane as well, along with Beekman and Clark. So, and then you combine that with the usual component of Virginia's defense is getting better and better. Can Virginia make the tournament? Yeah, we'll see, but they're going to make it interesting.
I'll tell you what, Griggs, I pulled Duke up there on the right after this loss. They now, I would argue, have as many wins over teams that are solidly in the field as they have losses to teams that are not tournament teams. Two of the wins, two in the loss clubs. Yet this morning, you thought they were a one seed.
Did well, yeah, because well, this morning they hadn't lost at home to Virginia, so there was that. And this morning they had still beaten Gonzaga and Kentucky and won at Wake, where it's pretty hard. And but you know, won at Notre Dame, that's kind of hard. Louisville's got a rich history, they won there, and they blew North Carolina's doors off. Well, trying not
and
to
the tier three Virginia loss might after tomorrow, we'll see, be actually a tier two loss because it doesn't take into account that Virginia beat Duke.
let's go back to the AC.
But fair point, Chad. When you're looking at one seeds, they typically don't lose to anyone, much less to teams that aren't in the field, much less to multiple teams that aren't in the field. I mean, categorically, they don't really lose to anybody.
And they normally have a road win over a protected seed, Griggs, as you like to say. And,
yes.
Where's that on Duke's profile?
Let me see. Well, they've got
Tytel. Let's go turn to the ACC bubble, which is everybody not named Duke. and the probably the fastest rising team, other than maybe Virginia, is the Notre Dame Irish suddenly on the left there.
So this team started 4-5. I don't know about you. I counted them out. They've won 12 of 14, and I still can't believe I'm saying this. If they beat Louisville on Wednesday, they're going to have a 10-3 conference record and be atop the standings. They already have a signature win. They beat Kentucky in December. Mike Bray has been doing this with a 7-man rotation, which seems impossible, but 6 of the 7 are juniors and seniors, so I guess he's relying on the veteran leadership. The one freshman, Blake Wesley, might have hit the proverbial wall, only 8 points a game in his past three. He's also shooting 3 of 25 behind the arc in his past five. Somebody please tell him to stop shooting threes. Today, outside the bubble, but if they're leading the conference next week, you have to think about them getting inside the bubble, right?
Yeah, they're not outside by much. I wouldn't think. And they've got another slate of winnable games in front of them, really all the way to the end. They could win all those.
Yep. Tough to can you imagine an ACC? The game at Wake. It's tough, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it is. The game at Wake is tough, but
But
regular season champ will make the tournament. I'm very confident. I actually think Notre Dame is inside the bubble, but right now, first four. But I do think they are inside. Okay. Right,
can we get Washington State up on the left?
No, we can't.
The HD group last week on Thursday night had them inside the bubble. So
let me ask, Dorman, let me ask you about the team I pulled up on the right. This has been one of the strangest profiles I've ever seen for the Tar Heels. I don't remember ever seeing a profile of a team that every loss was to a team that is probably in the field or very close to being in it, and every win is over a team that's not in the field. It kind of perplexed. I don't know what to make of it, whether this team should be in there or as Griggs is going to argue, shouldn't even be considered.
I'm much closer to David. Shouldn't be considered. And if you look at what's upcoming, they're not. This is going to go on for three more weeks of not having any wins, because the only thing they got here is Duke, and that's on March 5th. So this conversation is going to keep going and going because they got no one to beat in the ACC. I don't have them on my board. Even mid, I hate the term, the mid-majors get a few chances to get quad one, tier one wins, and they have a few, as we will see, and we go down every Thursday. Carolina doesn't have any. They're 0 for what is that, 7 or 8? I can't put them in.
7. 0 for 7. I guess the thing is with this garbage, with no real tournament teams left on the schedule till Duke, one loss makes it easy. I think they have to win every single one of these games. But
I agree.
But it's because of – but what if they do? What if they go undefeated until the Duke game and they lose that one? It's – what the heck do you do with a team that only loses five games of the ACC? It's – they'll be a one or two seed in the ACC tournament.
They'll have 23 wins. A win in the ACC tournament will put them at 24. I don't see them out if that really does happen. I don't think North Carolina makes that run.
Well,
they're not good enough for that, probably.
Notre Dame is going to be the same thing.
The ACC isn't what it normally is. I wanted to see them next to Wazoo to make the point that they're no more deserving than Wazoo, but Chad would not pull them up.
I alluded to this on Thursday. We called them Nebraska about 3 or 4 years ago, but fortunately, voters were smart enough not to let them in the field because the schedule was fraudulent.
We later learned that they were not really – they were out pretty quick. So the
upcoming schedule of the ACC on the screen, there are a pair of bubble-ish interesting games on Saturday. Miami at Wake, Florida State at North Carolina, although Florida State's really fallen off the pace here, but game Carolina needs to stay with this weird profile. But Miami at Wake Forest, definitely one worth circling on Saturday.
Can we pull up Wake real quick, Chad? I was kind of dumbstruck that they got into the poll today, because I've been beating up on Wake pretty hard, not as hard as North Carolina, but still pretty hard. Let me take another look at them. And am I one of the only ones that doesn't have Wake in?
Yeah, only 5 losses, and they've won at a Virginia team who's rising. They won at Va Tech, which is a good net win. I think there's a much better case for them than, say, Wazoo, which I did pull up here on the right for you, Griggs, which is a lot worse with home losses to Eastern Washington, New Mexico State, and Stanford than that North Carolina profile.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's a better case for them than Wazoo. It's better than North Carolina as well.
Let's jump over to – there were a couple of very notable games this weekend. Let's start in the SEC, where we saw Salika – We saw Kentucky. Stalika? I'm sorry?
I said we saw Stalika in the SEC.
I'm asking Stalika about the Kentucky-Alabama game, and we still see the SEC Big 12 standings are still there. I apologize. I didn't pull them off the screen. But that was from 2 weeks ago. But Stalika, how about what Kentucky did at Alabama this week, just continuing to roll?
Well, Alabama, as we know, has been pretty feisty at home. They've beaten teams like Houston and Baylor there, and we saw Kentucky a couple weeks ago look like they might steal a win at Auburn, but unfortunately came up a little bit short in that one. So this was a good win for the Wildcats right here to help solidify what's going to at least be a top 2 seed right here.
Or higher.
Yeah, I got that Kentucky profile up on the left there. I mean, now wins at Kansas, at Alabama. I beat that North Carolina team that's going to be in the tournament. They beat Tennessee. Yeah. The other very interesting game in this conference, Joby, that was not an upset loss but almost was Auburn. Because yes. Very easy game at Georgia, but what the hell happened?
We are talking, if it weren't for teams like Oregon State, a shoo-in for the Stallings. I mean, this Georgia team is awful. And, you know, I mean, I think the Georgia basketball team said, well, the football team won the national title. We don't need to even try this year. And Auburn must have been reading, A, not just their own press, but Georgia's press of how bad they are as well, and just completely did not bring it. If you saw the game, Auburn was so sluggish. It's like every loose ball was going to Georgia. It was – they are lucky to have gotten out of there with a win. That goes without saying, given the final score. But what – let's – I'm willing to chalk one game up for Auburn as, okay, you got lazy. You got full of yourself a little bit. Let's see how Auburn performs down the road. Is this endemic of an actual head problem? Because I think it's completely head oriented. Or is this just a blip? I think it is just a blip. But
Joby, this is the second blip.
There's a little warning
though.
Signs that need to be
given.
We saw this with Missouri a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
If you ask Alabama, it's very difficult to win in Missouri and Georgia.
Yeah. So. To give you an idea, you notice that these teams are over 200 spots apart. That happens so rarely. It's happened once this year, although I don't know if Hofstra and Bill and Mary are still 200 apart. Do any of our under-the-radar experts know that?
No.
But, like, wins, upsets of that caliber, and no upset is bigger than you as far as importance goes than UMBC over Virginia. But as far as how far apart the teams are, that happens less than once a season. Sometimes once every three or four seasons to see an upset as big as that would have been had Georgia held on the win. Wow.
I'll tell you what, on the left there, Titel, I've got bring up Mississippi State. Another team that you wanted to mention. Are there a team you're paying attention to at this point still?
Well, sadly, now I'm paying attention to UMBC since David decided to drive a bus over Joby tonight. But the Bulldogs.
Hey, he just won a Duke on a buzzer beater. He's not feeling
getting
paid.
All the following year, they got over it.
So Mississippi State started 12-4 this year. They have lost four of their past six, and a rough three game stretch ahead. Tennessee, LSU, Alabama. Although LSU obviously is not as good as the other two, and I know that every single game on the schedule counts, but if you look at their schedule, I have to wonder if the overtime loss at Rupp Arena 2 weeks ago is going to end up deciding their postseason fate. They really needed that one because they're really on the bubble. And speaking of Joby, he's been down on Garrison Brooks even before the guy transferred from Carolina. Yeah. But Brooks is starting to hit a stride in the past two games. 18 points and 9 boards against South Carolina. Double-double at Arkansas. To be fair, he's not getting to the free throw line enough. He's only made 2 free throws in his past 3 games combined. They're outside the bubble.
Yes, there's one glaring, gaping, I can't unsee it problem with their profile.
They don't have a true road win.
Yes.
Nope. Dorman, on the right there, I pulled up the team that, but for Auburn, will be the hottest team in this conference with 8 wins in a row, the Razorbacks.
Exactly, 8 wins in a row. But if we go deeper, we will see that was at the bottom. That was getting wins versus the bottom of the conference. So their season will be determined in the next couple of weeks here. They get Auburn at Alabama, an easy one in Missouri, Tennessee, and then Florida. Arkansas needs to pile these wins up because you can see their tier one on the upper left is not exactly juicy. LSU seems to be struggling more every day. So who knows how that went along. Arkansas has has work to do. They got themselves back in the conversation, but now these next 4 or 5 games will tell us everything.
I couldn't agree more. Again, not so great. Not if you're Auburn or you're Alabama and you go to Missouri, it's not so easy. So, don't want to say it's exactly going to be easy, but Stalica, here's the upcoming schedule in this conference. Auburn at Arkansas tomorrow night, one of the key games here.
Yeah, but I'm also waiting for a team like Florida to potentially wake up. I'd like to think they wouldn't have a problem against Georgia at home, but they've also got a game at Kentucky on Saturday where that could cure a lot of sins. But as Tytel mentioned, depending on the health of who is it, Colin Castleton, it's going to be tough to see the Gators trying to pile up a bunch of wins right now.
I believe Castleton is supposed to be back this week with the Georgia game. That's the last I heard. I don't know if that's going to stay, but he's as of the last thing I read was that he was not listed as out for this game at the moment. That could obviously change. But I want to throw this out there real quick, Tytel. Yes, you want to say Castleton's been out, but they've won the last three games in a row without Castleton. Don't we not need to start giving the Gators some credit?
Sure, but I'm telling you that, like, he had a double-double against Ohio State, if I recall, which is a big reason they were able to beat a great Buckeyes team by three. And, yes, if they win out without him, of course, like, it doesn't matter. But I think that they're going to need him at Kentucky. Is that crazy?
I agree they'll need him at Kentucky. But, it'd be nice, but if they can get back for the Georgia game, it's kind of a tune-up against a very bad team that can only
challenge. They only need you against Georgia, Chad.
Well, I'll tell you what. That's pretty good because if you or anybody listening to this wants to play, I'm going to go right here right now. IUPUI is looking for players.
I do. I'm in.
Open tryouts for the remainder of the season. If anybody wants to play Division I men's basketball, enroll in IUPUI today. Try out. You can be on the team. I had to throw that in.
That doesn't scream centenary. I do not know what does.
That is.
Are we talking about IUPUI or Crowley's Ridge College?
We're talking IUPUI, a Division I school. The Big 12 Conference had the other big result of the weekend. And wow, what a result it was. Stalika, Kansas, at home over Baylor by 3 million points.
Yeah, I think we're starting to see some order being restored in the Big 12 after what seemed like a calendar year where Baylor had lost maybe one or two games. And what seemed to be a certain one seed for the Bears is suddenly in great peril right now and actually starting to drop a little bit based on results like this, as well as the Alabama game. But you look at a team like Kansas, for example, they're on fire right now.
Yeah, well, not right this second. They're down
as we record this. They're down at Texas, but still in the first half. So Joby, what about the Baylor Bears? Is there anything to worry about here with a couple losses recently, or is this just the product of the fact that you're playing this insanely tough conference?
Yeah, I mean they are certainly playing a ridiculously tough schedule, but the facts are the facts. And right now, their resume and the way they are playing at this very moment is not one seed material. It's two seed. Do we really think two seeds have no chance at a national title and a repeat for Baylor? No. Baylor could easily bring down the Nets, you know. But right now, there are teams that are more deserving of being ahead of them, which was not the case a mere 2 weeks ago. Where only Auburn, I would argue, should have been ahead of him 2 weeks ago. The little slough, as Stalika points out, it's real. But am I worried that Baylor is not an elite team? No.
Tytel, if Kansas and Baylor are one seed and two seeds, do we also have a three seed here in Texas Tech in this conference?
I mean, since there's so many people here who love when there's a lot of meat in the upper left bone, I think you have to talk about the Red Raiders. They had the painful double overtime loss in Fog Allen Fieldhouse a couple weeks ago, but bounced back three straight wins: Mississippi State, Texas, West Virginia. They head to Oklahoma Wednesday. They host TCU Saturday. Great interior shooting, 55% from two-point range, is top 25 in the nation. Do need more consistency from junior forward Kevin McCullough. He missed some games earlier this year. During the three-game winning streak, he didn't take a single free throw against Mississippi State. He made 12 of 15 against Texas. And then he didn't take a single one against West Virginia. Make up your mind, dude. Either get to the hoop or not. They're a four seed in my book.
A four seed. All right, that's fair. A team that is probably about a 15 seed right now, I think, Dorman, is the Oklahoma Sooners. Where do you have them? I know you want to discuss them.
Off my board. I thought a couple weeks ago when they were at the bottom of our bracket, I thought that was generous. I didn't have them in then. I don't have them in now. The West Virginia win doesn't look great. I'll give them the Arkansas win. But Texas Tech, Kansas, and then Texas and Iowa State coming, Texas Tech again. If they want to get their stuff together and go to the tournament, here's their chance. They got five games. All will be huge victories. But I don't see it because I don't think Oklahoma has the talent the rest of this Big 12 does.
Yeah, it's such a tough conference. I'm not even going to go into the West Virginia argument with you, Griggs, because you're dead wrong about them. But I think we got to give a shout here to this TCU team. 4-4 in conference, which is damn good in the Big 12.
Oh, yeah. No, I like this TCU team a lot. And, you know, they've won some games that are not easy to win. They haven't just been home court heroes. They went to Iowa State, went to Oklahoma, went to K-State. Nothing too spectacular about Oklahoma and K-State, but it's, you know, they did get the road wins there. I like this team a lot, and I think that they are climbing the seed list as the season progresses. You know, it seems like they're better now than they have been at any other point in the year. Their next game's winnable. It's at home against Okie State.
Yeah, I was going to bring up the rest of that schedule here for upcoming West Virginia on a 7-game losing streak. You're down there in last place. I don't really think we need to discuss them too much unless they could turn things around at this point.
Right. They need them both this week. So
there's that upcoming schedule. And you can just circle once again pretty much every game on here. We've got Kansas, Texas. We record this. We've got Texas Tech at Oklahoma. We got Texas at Baylor. We got TCU, Texas Tech. We've got West Virginia at Kansas State. That's probably not that good of a game. But,
Virginia not only needs to end their losing streak, they need to win both of the games away from home this week to even get back within some semblance of belonging.
And beat Iowa State at home.
Yeah, they need to do that too. I missed that one. Yeah.
Yep. Let's head out west of the Pac-12 conference, where the other team, Dorman, they're your team as well as Titels. I can give you the shot talking about them this week. Pretty good week for the Arizona Wildcats, who started slow tonight, but as we record this, are up 4 at halftime.
Yes, they had a great week versus the LA schools. UCLA came in for the revenge game. Arizona had just gotten boat raced out of the Pauley Pavilion a couple weeks back. But Arizona showed they're tough, and they're going to be a huge factor in this national title race because UCLA is good, and Arizona showed they held serve at home. Then USC came. USC gave Arizona everything they could handle and then some, barely pulling out the victory. I was actually pretty impressed with USC over the weekend. But, yes, Arizona's back on solid footing. They got ASU tonight. And I got them right either 4 or 5 overall. If you put them on the one line at the end or the top of the two, I'm good.
And Joby, UCLA follows up the Arizona loss with a triple overtime Arizona State game.
That's unacceptable. I mean, I don't care if it went into a beautiful triple overtime game. It's unacceptable. You cannot do that. Hey, Arizona, wake up. You're only up 4. I know it's on the road, but UCLA cost themselves the chance. You know, we kind of hit on Duke. Hey, you need to do better. UCLA also is in that same bucket. Are they a protected seed? Of course they are. They are a good seed. Do you think UCLA could win the national title? If you don't, you weren't paying attention to the tournament last year because they're returning a lot of what they got from last year. So I'm not here to bury UCLA's chances come March, but as far as number one seed, yeah, they're not going to get it. That loss will do it and take them out of it.
Titel, I know you want to go a little bit lower down the conference series, but not too much lower. How about Wazoo? Griggs was all over them at the start of the show.
Very weird roller coaster season. 5 wins to start the season, lost 7 of their next 11, have now won 5 in a row to improve to 7-3 in conference play. They have matched last year's win total, 14 overall wins. They reward a visit from my Wildcats on Thursday, and depending on what happens in the second half of the ASU game, my Cats might be in a very angry mood. Sophomore Andre Yakimowski, a.k.a. the Macedonian Sensation, he stumbled into spring last year. His final 3 games as a freshman, scored 3 against Arizona and then scoreless in back-to-back games against ASU. This year, he's found his shooting stroke. The last 5-game winning streak, he's made 13 of 27 behind the arc. If they beat Arizona, much like if Virginia beat Duke, whole new ballgame. As of today, I have them as about a 19 seed.
Stalika, one more team here. The Oregon Ducks picked up a pair of road wins, albeit only Colorado and Utah, not tournament level teams. But they were much needed wins, were they not, this week?
Well, they were also historic in the sense that was the first time they finally got a win at Colorado, period, and hence a sweep of the mountain trip for the Ducks right here, because they need to get wins home or away at this point. But I think another team that bears watching is going to be Stanford, who had their toe stubbing at home against Washington State and was in a little trouble with Washington and actually did take control of that one. So at least they're treading water at this point.
Yeah, they got that nice sweep of USC combined with the Wyoming win, which makes them a very interesting case study for an 89 net team, which is
Yeah, you're right about that, Chet. It seems like they always play their way into a position to where they can really get inside the bubble or get on it. And then once they do that, they get blown to kingdom come.
Yeah, look at, for example, the game at Washington back in January 15th and the game at UCLA where they got absolutely crushed. They weren't even in the game.
I mean, they were down 25 points at the tip.
Pretty much. Upcoming schedule in the Pac-12 real quick. As we mentioned, as we record this, the Arizona State game is going on. But the other games of note, I know everyone's tuning in tomorrow night for Pacific at USC in a thrilling non-conference game against the worst team in the West Coast Conference. But I think you should circle Thursday's Stanford-Oregon game, seriously, as well as, of course, UCLA-USC on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
What conference did we miss here? We haven't talked Big East yet. Griggs, you want to talk some Big East?
Let's talk some Big East. Let's go. Let's start off with the team at the top.
You could start with Providence, but I was going to start somewhere else actually. But go ahead.
Where did you want to start?
I was going to start by talking to Stalika about the DePaul Blue Demons, Stalika.
Oh. Why did you call on me? Let's talk.
Yeah, I mean, it took about, 22 games, but Xavier finally had one bedwetting this year. And I don't know why DePaul hasn't even had their best, two scores for either of their games against the Musketeers, including Javon Freeman Liberty. But the guys they've been playing have been certainly enough of a pest in the post. I think Agendo is one of the guys that comes to mind, but DePaul actually had a pretty good shooting day, and Xavier, they didn't have one of their hotter three-point shooting days, so it made them ripe for an upset right here.
Yeah, it was a bad loss. Titel, a team that just a week ago I thought we were all underrating it and overlooking almost was the UConn Huskies, and they had a lousy week.
What a difference a month makes. Finished January on a 5-game winning streak and then back-to-back losses last week to Creighton and Villanova. If not a bedwetting, at least the sheets getting ruffled a bit. Doesn't get any easier this week. Home to Marquette Tuesday, then at Xavier Friday. Great interior defense, only allowing 42% from two-point range, number 5 in the nation. Senior point guard RJ Coley's been great in his past 4 games. 19 points a game, 19 of 21 at the line, 6 boards, 4 assists, 2 steals a game. He's doing it all. I have them as a 6 seed.
Wow.
Why'd you say wow?
No, I kind of agree.
Oh, okay. I thought you were surprised by that. Dorman, Seton Hall, a little bit of a bounce back week with a couple wins.
Exactly correct, Chad. I mentioned it last week. Their season was on the verge, but they held serve. They got the victory. They're still alive. They're kicking. They're right at the bottom of my bracket, but they're in. But again, like a lot of these teams, here we go. Next 3 games, Xavier at Villanova at Connecticut. They cannot go 0-3 at Seton Hall. They are back in trouble if they go 0-3. 2-3 would do wonders for this team.
Let's actually turn to the top of the conference now, Joby, and the team that Griggs was trying to sell us on at the beginning, though, Providence. I got to ask, should we be talking a serious chance for a 1 seed here for the Friars with this resume?
Yes. And everybody, I think we overthink it with this team. I really do, because everybody goes, well, you know, they're not going to get credit for the Wisconsin win. Bullcorn. You won on the road in Madison. Yeah, I don't care. that's a hell of a win. I don't care about the injuries on Wisconsin. Wisconsin, I feel like, will get the benefit of not getting killed for losing to, oh my gosh, a fellow protected seed at home. You know, I actually think that that games like that, Providence's resume, if you look pure resume, is ridiculously strong. That I mean, look at quad one, and now, you know, you look at the losses, yeah, as it were, you know, Marquette on the road, or is anyone going to be, you know, upset that you lost Marquette on the road? And Virginia on a neutral court, by the way, Virginia has not lost a preseason tournament game in about a decade. So it's not like that's, you know, a crazy one of this Virginia team that we're seeing some signs of life out of. This is a very strong Providence team. They might remind me a little bit of the San Diego State team that, you know, was competing for a one seed last year. But they're getting the opportunities in the Big East that San Diego State did not have last year in the Mountain West.
Dorman, there's one thing that I highlighted here, and that's the upcoming schedule, because the significant thing that's missing from Providence's resume is a win over Villanova.
Or two.
Yeah. Yeah, now they have beaten some teams that have beaten Villanova. Where is that?
Correct. Because besides, you know, DePaul isn't going to do anything for the resume. Butler's not going to do much for the resume. Yes, Providence will be judged. This team will be judged on their two games versus Villanova. One of them, the road game in Villanova, will be to end the season. But I'm with Joby. This resume is rock solid. And I really believe if that was Villanova's resume, instead of Providence, people would be all over the 1 and 2 seed for this team.
Greg, here's the upcoming schedule. You had comments, though.
Well, yeah, just still in – I think one of the things that might be hanging up, not necessarily the committee, but the bracketology community, is the net, and what's dragging the net down is the adjusted offensive and defensive efficiency ratings for Providence. That is a rather big discrepancy to be 55th in 48, and then in that, and then, you know, 3 in the APR, 6 in the JNG. It's just kind of – I've never seen – I mean, you see discrepancies, but that's one of the biggest ones that I've seen for a protected seed caliber team ever.
Well, they're moving up. Ken Pom's up to 41.
Is way off here. There is no way this is the 41st best team in the country. That makes zero sense. You may say KPI, strength of record, J&G's inflating them, but you're inflating them by 2 to 3 ranking spots, 4 ranking spots at most, under most people. 41, that's a joke. That's an absolute joke. And so I actually think when it gets to such a joke level that KenPom will be absolutely pushed out of the room and ignored, well, you know, on this particular team. And the net will not be looked at, because the net is not a ranking tool. The net is a reflection of your strength of schedule. The people who should be angry is if Providence, let's say, stumbles at Butler or something and falls outside the top 30, that all of a sudden a win over Providence at home is no longer a tier one win. That would be insane. And that's the shame. And if I'm a Big East fan and I'm not competing for the actual conference title, but I'm trying to get good wins, Marquette, for instance, if I'm Marquette, I want them to stay in that top 30 because I want my win to be a tier one as it deservedly should be.
Surely to God, the committee kind of sees this for what it is. Yeah, like KenPom doesn't even – the one of the things about KenPom is that it doesn't even directly factor in wins and losses. It's win probability based on adjusted efficiency.
Okay, we need to keep moving here. We're running late on time already. We've got a bunch to get to still, but quickly, the upcoming schedule in the Big East, big game tomorrow night, Marquette, UConn. We got Xavier Seton Hall coming up. We got Seton Hall, Villanova. We got UConn, Xavier. It's a big week for Xavier, actually.
Yes.
But, over to the Big Ten, which we still haven't even discussed, and it's got a whole bunch of really, really good teams in it. Taito, let me start with you. I know you want to talk about Michigan State and what they did this week when they had to go to the RAC.
A gym in Piscataway. So this team was 14-2 a few weeks ago, looking like a possible one seed. lost three of their past six. The 21-point loss at the rack, the worst performance by a Spartan since they lost to the Persians in the movie 300. Doesn't get any easier this week. That's good. Doesn't get any easier this week. Host Wisconsin Tuesday, Indiana Saturday. And you always think of Izzo's team, hard-nosed guys. They hit the boards. This year, they're 8 in the nation, 39% behind the arc. And junior point guard Tyson Walker, transferred in from Northeastern, exceeded expectations. 19 of 35 from behind the arc. He's missed one free throw since New Year's Day. I have them as a 4 seed.
Yeah, the other team very impressive this week was Illinois, getting the blowout win over Wisconsin Dorman. The more I look at it, I didn't really want to believe in this Illinois team, but I think I am.
I am too, Chad. Kofi Coburn is now in the lineup. He is now in shape. They have a flow to the offense. And the coaching staff knows their best opportunity to win games is get the ball down low to Kofi. They've been doing a much better job the last 3 or 4 weeks at that. Opens the shots up outside for Frazier and the other guys. I see Illinois ceiling really, really high. Illinois can – playing good ball, Illinois can make the Final Four this year.
And how about that win in Indiana? I mean, Indiana, not the best team, but they went into Bloomington and blew them off the court. That was almost as impressive, maybe in some ways more so, than the home win against Whiskey. That was a great win.
That was a great win. Those were probably the most games of note. There were not as many games of note as we normally get in this conference, I think, this past week. So maybe we can kind of speed through things a little bit here to try and catch up with some time. But Stalica, here's the upcoming schedule this week in the conference. Big, big game tomorrow night, Illinois at Michigan at Penn State. I mean, Illinois at Purdue. That's the one. And Wisconsin, Michigan State, actually.
I mean, that'll be a huge chance for Illinois to vault up the list even further if they're able to win a Purdue right here. And you look at a team like Ohio State, they're going to have a dangerous trip ordering a meatball sub on Wednesday. Hopefully they don't choke on that one. And not look ahead to a game at Michigan on Saturday.
Yeah, I think you nailed it right there. Very dangerous for Ohio State to go to the rack when they've got Michigan coming up on Saturday. They're big rivals.
Jersey Mike's.
So. I don't know what this Jersey Mike's thing is that you're talking about. Rutgers becomes interesting if they pick up that win. They got to find some way to get win a road game at Wisconsin would definitely help, though. But let's head out. Let's talk about the Zags. And the West Coast Conference. And Griggs, you know, Gonzaga continues to roll. They've been big at San Diego, and then they go to BYU, team which was reeling, and just stomp on their throats.
Yes. BYU was reeling, and Gonzaga just kicked them while they were down. And it was – I want to say BYU jumped out to what was it, a 9-1 lead, and proceeded to just get blown away by 40 or more from that point on. I think Gonzaga, like, it hasn't been flawless like it was last year. I mean, it hasn't been from the first game all the way through complete dominance, but there have been moments where this Gonzaga's team has looked as good or better than anyone in the country. They could certainly get back to a Final Four. They could certainly win it all this year when they play like that.
Yeah, Joby, what about this BYU team now with this four-game losing streak in the West Coast Conference? And other than a trip to St. Mary's, nothing left on the schedule.
Yeah, BYU is hanging on. But I think they're in the field right now still, even with the slump. And it's a slump that they are in. They established a strong enough resume to deserve their present position, and no one's seizing it from them, as is usually the case from the bubble. But man, you know, you say, well, only St. Mary's to prove themselves. You can afford to, if you're BYU, you go 4-1 and the only losses to St. Mary's, your status quo, you're still looking 10-ish, sort of seed. The worry for you is you go to Loyola Marymount or something like that, and you stub your toe, God forbid, against Pepperdine. I don't see that happening. But, you know, all of a sudden, then you're going, uh-oh, you might be a victim of one of those surging teams that we've talked about earlier in the show that could try to take a bid. It's got to come from somewhere. Yeah. BYU, check yourself before you wreck yourself is the expression.
Yeah, Joby, I got to –
You've lost at Utah Valley and then Pacific already. I could see you losing at Pepperdine. So don't.
Yeah, I got to correct Joby's verbiage here a little bit. Losing to LMU or Pepperdine would not be stubbing their toe. It would be breaking their foot.
Can I just want to jump in one thing here, and it's not such a knock on BYU as much as it is a praise to the conference. That BYU, and according to our experts and on the website, you can see they're either right in or right out. So BYU is right on that bubble. Their conference, in conference, they're 5-5. Whoever would have thought a team in the West Coast Conference that's 5-5 would be sitting in the tournament today? And I think it's a big shot up to the West Coast Conference on how many teams they have and how good they really are.
Yeah, look at that sixth place team. We're talking about them as a tournament team. Titel, one of the teams is a couple spots above them. Santa Clara become a very dangerous team and an interesting week ahead too.
On five of their past six, with only a 3-point loss at San Francisco, that could have changed everything. 6-3 in conference play, and this conference will take it. Very tough homestand. St. Mary's and the rematch with the Dons coming to town. Great outside shooting. 38% behind the arc is top 20 in the nation. And junior guard Jalen Williams from Gilbert, Arizona, was one of the best players in the Grand Canyon State a few years ago. Last year, mediocre shooter. 40% from the field, 27% behind the arc, 76% at the line. This year, everything was taken up a notch. 52% from the field, 40% behind the arc, 85% at the free throw line. Amazing improvement in just 1 year. Today, outside the bubble. If they sweep that homestand, still outside the bubble, but a much more interesting case.
Yeah. Game February 19th at Gonzaga. If they sweep the homestand, we start circling February 19th at Gonzaga. Big time.
Yeah, that's shooting for the moon. But if they do that, they're in.
They got to win those garbage games too. Just ask BYU. Yeah. But there's the upcoming schedule. Obviously, the big games I think maybe are those Santa Clara games that were mentioned. We've got, let's see what else is up here. We've got BYU at Loyola Marymount, St. Mary's at Gonzaga, the other huge one coming up on Saturday. Definitely worth circling. Again, the St. Mary's team, we didn't really discuss them much, but a very, very good team. Let's go over to the Atlantic 10. I don't think we've hit them yet. As the conference loads here, Stalika, let me start with you and the Davidson, who bounces back with a nice win at St. Bonaventure, a road win at GW, starting to look like the dominant force again.
Well, or it could be a team that's just finding ways to win on the road, even though they're not of the blowout variety. I mean, they may have put the Bonnies out of their misery for this year at least. And winning it only by 5 at GW, the Colonials, this has not been one of their better seasons right here.
Yeah, another team with is just this wild profile. We have Dorman for this Dayton, these Dayton Flyers. I'll pull this up here. They got a huge, huge road win this past week.
The craziest profile of all time.
Yeah, that the holiday Thanksgiving tournament when they beat Kansas down there in Orlando, they were just red hot, and they came home and they blew games to Mason and Ole Miss. But if they were to get hot, and that schedule is doable, they can definitely get back on the board. They just got to keep winning. And it's this conference, like the guys just said, doesn't have a lot of meat to it. So they can't lose because a loss is a bad loss, any of them. They got to keep winning, get in the conference tournament on a high note, and really get at least to the finals.
The crazy thing about this profile and about these metrics and where they're being forecast now is it was the small stuff that killed them. When you look at, I don't know if there's ever been a team inside the bubble that had three losses to teams outside the net or RPI 250. And I don't really, I mean, to think that all they had to do was win their home bye games and their easiest home bye games on top of that, and they'd have been all right. Without those three losses, I think that they're in. I think we're all saying that they're in.
Yeah, but you lose to a Masters of Lowell team.
Like that is horrible. I mean,
Lowell may not qualify for the America East tournament.
Right. Yeah.
That's bad. Austin Peay may not qualify for the OVC tournament. I think the OVC takes everybody. But
No, they
okay.
Well, I mean, Lipscomb really sweating in the A-Sun, kind of surprised if you follow under the radar. But these, I just don't understand how. Look at the discrepancy between the top of this profile and the bottom of it. It is ridiculous.
Is there a profile better than North Carolina's?
I think it is, but maybe not.
Tytel, the team that they did lose to this week was St. Louis on the Billikens, who were without Perkins all season, but they're hanging in there. And that Boise, that win at Boise back in November is looking better and better, is it not?
I think the only thing looking better is the 4-point loss to Auburn in December, because that is like a tier one AAA loss. Another roller coaster of a season. Won 7 of 8, lost 5 of 9, but now they've won 5 in a row. They should beat LaSalle Tuesday, and then a very interesting home and home series with the Bonnies. And the reason they go out on the road and beat a team like Mason in double overtime, which they did last week, it's simple. They make their free throws, 78%, top 20 in the nation. And they got a hometown hero at point guard, junior Yuri Collins. He's been playing, I kid you not, like an All-American the past 2 months. 14 points, 6 boards, 10 assists, 2 steals a game. Outside the bubble, if they sweep the Bonnies, much more interesting discussion.
Yeah, the Bonnies are better than that 100-plus profile net rating. They're not a tournament team.
Not much.
But they're better than the 100th best team, I think. Here's the upcoming schedule in the conference. Davidson, they're going to be hosting St. Joe's. They're going to be at Rhode Island. They're going to be hosting Duquesne next Monday. I don't know that there's really a game I'm really circling this week in the conference, but
Be on the lookout. Dayton hosting Duquesne. They'll probably lose that one. And then where do they go next?
To Rhode Island. Yeah.
Oh, they'll win.
They're hosting GW. Then they're at Rhode Island. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's jump on one last conference. Is the American we have not discussed yet. Joby, let me start with you. Let's start at the top two. Yep. Houston keeps winning. Their net's up to number 2 in the nation. The predictive metrics love them. Nobody's projected them as a 1 seed though.
No, they don't. They don't have the opportunities to get that 1 seed. But if they keep winning, they're just floating up. Like the other team we discussed with 2 losses, everybody's going, well, Providence isn't a 1 yet, but they got their chances against Villanova. And well, if Providence sweeps, or I dare say even splits with Villanova, we're seriously discussing that. Houston doesn't have Villanova. And so a double in the American, I'm not sure what that gets you. It probably gets you a 2 seed at best.
Three points away from being undefeated, and those 3 points were against Wisconsin and Alabama.
Well, yeah. did you get Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde with Alabama? You know, there is a little bit of that.
It was at Alabama. It was a very
questionable non-goaltend call against Alabama.
Yeah.
They've been in the NCAA tournament since 2017. That's a rare mistake on the workbook.
The last miss was 2017.
Last miss. I just can't read. Forget it.
The workbook never lies. Tytel, SMU, is this a team that could make a tournament run?
Had you asked me in December and January when they went 11-1, I would have said yes. But when you start February with a 15-point loss at Wichita State, I have some grave concerns. And it doesn't get any easier. They welcome a little team called Houston to town on Wednesday. The interior defense, great. 44% from 2-point range is top 20 in the nation allowed. And senior point guard Kendrick Davis is where this team starts. Great season, 20 points, 5 assists a game, one of the best point guards in the country. The X factor, ball control. If he commits 4 turnovers or more this year, his team's 4-2. If he commits less than 4 turnovers, the team is 12-3. So hold on to the ball, Kendrick. Today, outside the bubble, but it's certainly trending in the right direction besides the Wichita State game.
The only game to watch this week in the American is the one Tytel just mentioned, Houston at SMU Wednesday night. Circle that. Probably ignore the rest of them. It's just garbage.
So you're not circling UC in South Florida? Potential rock fight right here.
I'm not circling that. I do want to, though, bring up one other team before we go to our final thoughts. Dorman, let me ask you about them. They just cracked the top 25 in both polls this week, and they're not from one of these 10 conferences we've discussed, the Murray State Racers out of the Ohio Valley Conference, number 23 in the AP, 24 in the coaches poll. How about this team that's won 12 in a row now?
They're fantastic. I love the way they play. I love the way they're coached. They get up and down the field. The point guard is absolutely sensational. I'm thinking passing on his name, but he is an absolute stud. One power team is not going to be happy on Selection Sunday when their name is read right after Murray State, because if you don't play a really good game and you're playing against Murray State, you're going down. Yes, it'll help when they're hot and they're hitting threes, but Murray State has a lot of good players, and they rotate them in and out, and they play great D. And I could see Murray State winning at least. I can see Murray State being a second weekend team come March.
Joby, let me ask you about this Murray State team also. Some very strange metrics here, I think, because normally you see the three predictives close to each other, the three resumes close to each other. You got a KPI of 56 versus an SOR of 21. You got a SAG rate of 68 versus a KenPom of 27. Very weird, I think, when you look at these metrics.
Not to get into a dive in on metrics, but KPI has always had issues, to be very honest, with under the radar type conferences. Gonzaga is typically lower in KPI, maybe not this year because of the West Coast Conference strength that we discussed earlier, but typically KPI, I understand why. Sagarin looks at point spread valuation, and it's kind of, for lack of a better word, for gamblers on that. And that's the value set. Whereas we discussed KenPom earlier with Providence, it's taking efficiency regardless of score. So that's why we have different metrics, because they do different things. It is, though, your point still made, it is very interesting how it all comes around. And that's why when you combine it all, they're the 31st best team in the country, because that's what the J&G says in the J&G.
You are the selection committee guessing expert. This team is now in the top 25. If we average all the metrics, they're 34th in the nation. Where does this team come in on the seed list?
I'm thinking that we're in like 10 range, but certainly if they win out, I could see them keep going up and up and up. But if they trip up once, then I think back to the 11-12 range.
Yeah, and they have one of their toughest games of the entire season coming up this week. They're at Morehead State this weekend. Morehead already has a win over Belmont, who's another very good team out of the conference. The other tough game, obviously, their home game against Belmont, February 24th. So that is a game to circle this weekend, Murray at Morehead. I guess on that note, though, let's go ahead and pull this down here, run through each of you for any final thoughts. Sleeka, let me start with you.
You know, Joby likes to call the top team in the American the king of the dipshits. That title did belong to Cincinnati for the first, 6 or 7 years. But you look at what's happened in the past three games between the Houston Cougars and the Bearcats. I mean, they've probably won by, it seems like, a combined 100 points. They've already run John Brannon out of town. I hope they have a little more patience with Wes Miller, but I would like to remind Bearcat fans, you still got to go to Houston on March 1st this year. I mean, that game was initially postponed because of COVID, but you've got to head to the principal's office, and it's not going to be pretty.
Okay. Dorman.
It's early February, and down the stretch we come. These games are so big. The committee tells us every game is all thought of as one, but what's in the committee's mind, and as they start to watch more games and as they start to get together more and chat, these games become huge. And where you're going to finish in your conference, we discuss some teams where if they might be near the top or the top, do they get that bid because maybe the ACC is up for grabs. So a lot of huge games coming even before we get to March, going to be very, very exciting.
Yes, it is. Tytel.
I'm going to do a little ACC news. Earlier today, Louisville announced that Malik Williams is coming back after missing two games for suspension due to not upholding program standards. If you don't think he's a difference maker, you are wrong, frankly. The last time we saw him on the court against Duke, double-double, 10 points and 12 boards in a losing effort. Last time we didn't see him on the court was on Saturday when they went to Syracuse and lost by 23 points without him. He's 6'11", 250. He's a difference maker, and he's playing most of the ACC bubble in the rest of the weeks ahead. Notre Dame, Miami, North Carolina, Wake, and Virginia. This guy, not alone, but some team in the ACC is going to lose to him because of him, and they're going to miss out on the NCAA tourney because he's a difference maker.
Oh, I like that, actually. It's a good prediction. Joby.
Yeah, that's actually really astute by Tytel. But instead of the second conference we addressed, I'm going to go back to the first conference we addressed. Who would have thought entering the season that we'd be looking at the Mountain West, that same ConAgra, whatever, you know, tournament, et cetera, people with three teams potentially wearing white in the first round of the NCAA tournament. And of those three teams, San Diego State would not be one of those three teams. This really, you know, we harped on it at the very beginning of the show, but this really is amazing what the Mountain West has done. And to put it in perspective, they, in Ken Pomeroy, as pointed out by our contributor, Rocco Miller, they are within, I think it is 0.4 in Ken Pom for conference rating of passing the ACC. That is amazing and unforeseen. It shows why when we begin and start looking at college basketball at the beginning of the year, anyone doesn't truly know what's going to happen.
Agreed completely. Griggs, unfortunately, yes. We took you off mute. I liked it better to start the show when you were on mute, but do you want to finish the show off?
Well, yes, and I got a non-basketball note to finish on. It's a rare thing, but as you know, like a lot of the cryptocurrencies have recently crashed. I discussed this on one of our shows last week, but it wasn't the big Hoops HD report. So I just wanted to share this with a lot of the cryptocurrency going down. People need a cryptocurrency they can rely on, which is why I have created Griggs Coin. There it is. So, I mean, it's... Well, let me. It's sweeping the nation. It's $5,000 a coin. It's worth a lot, and it's just, if you want to purchase it, you just go here, and here's instruction.
Okay, good job.
I was going to give you my Monopoly money for the Griggs coin.
You didn't quite get sound there, Griggs, but good effort. You get a C, I think. But
Ashley is always a go-to. Come on,
He couldn't even get it past Ashley.
Okay, I guess on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. First of all, don't buy any Griggs coin if you do see.
No, buy it. It's right.
Do not buy it. On behalf of John Tytel, David Dorman up here, Joby Fortson right below me, David Griggs and John Slick at his sides, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again middle of the week for Under the Radar, Thursday for Bracket Rundown. Talk to you again real soon.